Well, good evening, BBS Radio and listeners. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. At this time, we still have callers coming in on the conference line. You can listen to us at that time. I'm not quite aware of what the subject is going to be tonight. ICE is running late, so please bear with us. Now, please, everybody, I want you to listen to me. When that ding goes off, everybody is supposed to stop talking. That is Wynn's rule. That is for people coming in to be greeted. When that is done, then you may talk again. So, is anyone come in at this time would like to say their name and location? All right, Mary, one thing that John did not get across to you, when you call in on that recall or the replay number, you use the same pass number to get in.
Thank you.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yeah, New Mexico.
I'm sorry, I can't understand you. I'm sorry.
No, that was wrong.
And Terry in Dallas.
Hi, Terry. I hear you, but there was a gentleman I didn't understand.
Raiden, New Mexico.
Hi, Raiden. Welcome to the call this evening. Caller, would you like
Hello.
To say your location?
Sure. Aaron from Plymouth, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the call this evening.
Thanks.
Hi, Mary from California.
David from Hawaii.
Welcome to the call.
Don't eat your foot.
There were two people.
I'll let Illinois go first. This is Joni in
Maryland, Pennsylvania.
Hi, welcome
ben
to the
Maryland.
Call.
Hi, Joni.
Hi, Aaron. Yeah.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
This is Donna in Northern Ohio. Hi, Donna, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome
to
the call.
Hi,
Don. Hi,
everybody.
Is there anyone I have missed?
Hi, this is Terry from Sedona.
Hi, Terry. I heard your voice in the background. Sorry I didn't greet you. Welcome to the call.
That's okay. When I always say, hey, Terry, are you on yet? And if I say, yeah, then you hear me.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand. We've got some of the background noise.
Are you Bonnie in Corona?
Bonnie, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I finally could hear your name. We've got a bad echo or something, or someone's doing something, making noise.
I hear that.
Sounds like a photocopy machine.
Sounds like a squeaky wheel to me.
That's wind.
Sounds like they're under the ocean in a submarine.
That's
Yellow.
Wynn's ringtone.
Beep, beep, beep.
That's Wynn's ringtone.
Sponge Wynn.
He's not
well, that
yet.
Would be that would be the sonar.
That's the government listening in, right?
Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yes, Dharmananda. And
hi, Dharmananda. How are you?
Good, Donna. How are you?
Doing all right. How is your friend Baba?
Oh, he's getting better.
That's good. I'll keep putting him in the light.
Yeah. I wish he could heal his heart.
All right. Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location? Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hey, Chris in Memphis.
I heard Chris.
Hi, Chris. I can't hear for the person making the noise.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you guys?
Can you mute them?
No, but I'm going to ask everybody to go ahead and do star 6.
Okie dokie.
Thank you.
Not me.
That's all right. I'm going to take care of that in a little while.
That's better.
Hi, this is Roger
Thank you.
In Austin.
Hi, Roger. Welcome to the call this evening.
Thank you.
Good evening, caller. Would you like to say your name and location?
Well, tonight is Monday night. Tonight, we're going to do another section on the Creator God.
I was hoping we'd be putting all the terrorist attacks and things like that into the light tonight.
Yes.
That really needs to be done.
Yes. We can mention that to Winnie. She should be on in a minute.
I hope so.
There's helicopters in the distance.
Yeah.
Air Force Wind has landed.
Yeah. He was fortifying himself with some ozone water and brought me a glass of it, too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Does that taste any different than regular water?
Not really.
To me, it tastes... I don't know, just made with pure ozone, it tastes a little bit burned or something. I don't know why. But made with oxygen, it tastes real sweet. Oxygen in the ozone. So ozone's made with oxygen, pure oxygen.
I found something online today that was interesting about a new kind of, it's a car built with a new kind of power source. It's called NanoFlow Cell. It uses two different electrolyte fluids passing through a membrane makes electricity. Interesting.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
This is Bonnie from Cleveland, Washington.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
Hi. Hi.
This is Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi, Ron.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Janine in Salt Lake City.
Welcome to the call, Janine. And I heard another person come in.
It's Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Wynn in Sedona.
Welcome to the call, Wynn. I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
Glad your helicopter made it.
Wynn, I would greatly appreciate it if you would explain to John about when the dings go off that they are supposed to stop talking so I can greet the callers. John did everything defiant that he could tonight to stop that.
You know, I think the only way you can do that is by having a phone connected to the moderator's line. If you follow, I think. I don't think you can turn off the dings from the console.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about John interfering with me trying to greet the callers coming into the line.
John, don't interfere, okay? Zero, okay?
You know what? Y'all find another greeter. Good night.
Oh, God.
Hello.
Who's watching Donna, dishes you're kidding. In the background? Who's watching dishes?
I sense the spirit of Duane has attacked us.
John, I'm going to fire you.
She quit.
She quit?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. All right. We're going to start. Let me just check one thing, okay?
All callers are unmuted.
How's my volume today?
Volume is pretty good. Talk again.
Hello, testing, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, you sound pretty good here.
Sounds good to me. Tempura.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, well, does it start?
You sound really good over here.
Okay. Now, who was that that said, I sound good over there? Never mind. Okay. All right.
This conference is being recorded.
This is November 16th, 2015. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And Terry, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I announced we're going to do another session about how the Elohim created the universe. And let me see, who is...
Muted. Unmuted.
Maybe we could do a prayer.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Those attacks. Prayer for the
right. I don't think Heise is on the line, is he?
I don't think so.
Muted.
Heise has been taking off this week. He has to work. And you're breathing into the mic, Terry?
I am, yes, I am.
I think we'll call in the light, and then we'll do the prayer. And just before I do that, just I don't know if anyone is new on the line today, but I just want to just say a couple words to bring people up to speed. This is a series that we do every so often. You're still breathing into the mic. On how the Elohim created the universe. And it's kind of seat of the pants. I make up my questions as we go. There's a lot of ground we already covered. And to just put the ground we already covered in a few sentences for anyone that has not heard the previous parts of the series, this all kind of started when they identified themselves to me as the Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and it was one of the words for God in the Old Testament. It was the name the Mormons used for God, and it came up as the creators of the universe. And when this first happened, I said, well, what does this mean? Who are they? You know, when I think of the creators of the universe, if you go biblically, there was let there be light, let there be firmament, let there be water. And what am I getting myself into here? So I began asking them questions, and I said to myself, if they are who they say they are, then let me ask questions that only they could answer. And I didn't really know what to expect. And some of those questions are in the Creator God book. And most of you have read that. And so at a certain point, we started doing sessions on some of the fine points. And first off, the Elohim, to me, in our conversations, do not identify themselves as God. Although they identify themselves as the creators of the universe, they don't say they want to be our friends. that they're high-level friends that have the ability. How would you say it? Shine energy into the universe. And it's like they have the backdoor program to creation. And they don't have to go through portals or sacred geometries or other dimensions. It's like they just, the way they explain it is, boom, we're there. And many of us who are on these calls regularly have experienced an energy that comes around us that sometimes gives goosebumps for some people, sometimes makes them feel their chakras are open, makes them feel their crown chakra is open. Sometimes it's an experience, most of the time, it's an experience someone never had before. And then the voice comes through Terry, says they're the Elohim, and they say, that's us. That's how it feels when we come in your space. So this is a very interesting, ongoing relationship of both a feeling that's new and an intelligence that answers questions about the feeling, the experience. And according to them, and this is me like summarizing it, so I may get it wrong, but I'll try to get it close. Originally, there was the one infinite creator. And the one infinite creator was really also not God. It was an awareness. It was an awareness because prior to that, there was no awareness. There was nothing. There was, and it's so hard to imagine what nothing is, except perhaps it's close to chaos. And now the one infinite creator becomes aware, and it becomes lonely, so to speak. It becomes like, well, I'm all there is. What am I going to do with that? And so it finds that it can subdivide itself, kind of like an amoeba. It can create separatenesses that are all part of it, but also have an individuated ability to create intention and to create momentum. And of course, as all this is being created, the notion of time is being created for the first time. Because when there's nothing, no awareness, there's no time. There's nothing, there's no before, there's no after. And so for awareness to exist, there has to be time. And so the breakaways from the one infinite creator are what identifies itself to us as the Elohim. And, you know, apparently there were are millions of them, and they were collaborating. They were aware that they were part of the one infinite creator. They were aware that they were part of each other. But each little segment had its own ability to create intention independently and collaborate with the others out of free will choice. And so out of the collaboration with each other, they learned that they could create frequencies. Uh-oh. I hear Terry screaming. I'm like, they could create frequencies, and they could combine their frequencies in a way that I'll never understand to create harmonics and nodes. And somehow, the combining of frequencies and nodes created new points in space-time that didn't exist before. And those new points became extensions of Elohim consciousness, but also were all given the ability to independently create intention. And somehow all of that was the beginning, and here we are in that flow that started eons ago. And from Elohim's perspective, they are outside of our timeline. Time barely exists for them, except when they come into our timeline, they share space with us, and they move into our timeline. And so we've had conversations about how DNA was created, how the negative started occurring. For example, as this universe was being created, Elohim souls could move in and out of it. And it seems as if they started occupying some of the beings in this realm, sharing space with them. And sometimes they were co-creating, where they had a ground crew of Elohim souls that were working in the realm. And eventually, many of the beings of the Elohim souls that would descend into this realm got trapped here. And one indication of how they got trapped, and this is actually was in the Edgar Cayce readings, was they started experiencing sex. And through sex, they were pulled into the dimension and probably had a karmic connection with the being they had sex with. Or they got involved in the evolutionary path of that being. And so they had to stay here. And over time, many of these Elohim souls, being in the physical, started to become self-serving oriented because we have an echo. This was occurring because in this realm, in the higher realms, there's no body. It's all spirit. And in this realm, physicality makes a difference. In other words, there's ownership. And ownership started to create separation.
Q&A session started. Q&A session is over. All callers are unmuted. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. If somebody just did anything on the console just now, please don't do it. Okay? Do not touch it. Thank you. Okay, getting back to where I was, the idea of possessions created separation. And whereas in the higher realms, everyone knew they were part of each other, in this realm, we lose sight of that because we struggle to keep a roof over our head, we struggle to pay our bills, we struggle to take care of our families, and so it becomes easily a dog-eat-dog world. And then you have groups that are having power over other groups and wanting their possessions and wanting their land and even wanting their planet. And And the Elohim is watching this from their vantage point, and they'd like to be able to help. But their requirement is people have to ask, and people have to feel their energy. So part of what we've been doing is creating a liaison between them, and it seems very positive. Many people have had lots of growth as a result of participating in our calls. And I tell everyone, you have to decide if it's real or not. It's really out of the box. It's kind of amazing. It was like, it took me a few years to say, geez, I think they are who they say they are. And every time we have an interaction, you can gauge everything by the way they answer our questions and other criteria. So I think that's all I want to say in the introduction. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to call in the light, then we're going to do a little bit of a planetary prayer, and then we're going to engage them in a session. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a group energy that only the positive can access. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And before I ask them to greet us, to say hello, I just want to take this energy and I want to surround France and Paris and all the upset and out of balance that's taking place out of what happened there, which may be quite different from what we read in the newspapers, usually is, but nonetheless, we do know people died, and we do know that there were acts of violence, and that there are souls that are on the other side that were part of the tragic tragedy, and we want to send them all our light. We also want to surround our planet with light right now and ask for mediation in earthquakes. In other words, that they should be released gradually and away from population zones. We ask for mediation from drought and that there can be gentle rain in those areas that need water. We ask for balance for the population of our planet and the awareness and the release of fear and the obstruction to those plots of what we call the negative that have their designs that aren't designed to obstruct the free will choices of the humans on this planet. And we just hold that in our hearts and our light, in the light right now. We ask our sources to help us in this.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We assist person would contribute loci to all areas where it is needed, where it can fill in the cracks, where it can bring loci back into the equation, where people have become discouraged or overwhelmed by the actions of the few. We note also that these negative emotions as they circle the globe are also picked up by the spirits of the earth, are also picked up by the spirits of the air. And there is a sadness then that pervades. And we reestablish balance. We pick up the imbalance in the Pacific in the area of the release of nuclear waste into the ocean. It makes a bitterness. We particularly bring focus to each caller, each individual on the line, and to Donna, and bring love light in the surroundings so that it may help in general to diffuse negativity and raise tone.
Thank you. So let's start with our line of questions for tonight. And when we look at the creation of the universe, and I could say how many eons ago was that, but I can't even understand how time worked in that
you
place.
Could also say that the universe is being created every minute, every instant. It is a creation that is continually created and put there, and it takes a whole new perspective on time.
Do the Elohim partake in the moment-by-moment creation of the universe?
All of the creation takes part moment-by-moment to continue the creation.
Now, I have this idea, sometimes I express it this way, that there is an energy, toroid wave radiation, as it was called when I wrote The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. But there's an energy that pervades the entire universe, flows through it, and that everything is a creation from that energy, and then it starts creating itself with that energy. Can you explain that better than me?
Yes. All that is, the one infinite being, is the basis on which everything is written and everything writes itself. And it is there, pervasive through and through everything. K give us a moment. We need to keep strict focus and when the line had static, we lost our intense focus for a minute here and we need to get it back. The one infinite creator is a precursor to energy. It is a situation where you have each entity, each manifestation is a contraction or a condensing of the one infinite creator into a manifestation which then contains energy. And the energy is a result of the contraction. Does that make sense?
Now, is the energy measurable as a frequency?
A frequency is how it is expressed. Each manifestation has its own signature, which contains different frequencies that are condensed into a toroid wave that is a combination of frequencies and an overall frequency, resulting frequency.
Is the energy of the one infinite creator a frequency or a no frequency?
It is a precursor to all that is to manifestation. The one infinite being is, and you cannot say it has an energy. It is, as the manifestation occurs, an expression of frequency in the appearance of the manifestation. The manifestation contains frequencies that make it up. And without frequency, it would not exist.
And the one infinite creator is, the frequencies are built. I'm trying to intuitively grasp this. The frequencies are on top of the energy of the creator frequency, or the creator. The creator is not a frequency because it just is.
Yes. It is very hard to speak of because it is a precursor rather than a manifestation.
Yeah. But it's the underlying isness behind all the frequencies dancing on it,
yes,
and creating themselves.
Dancing as part of it.
Yeah. It would be like if a bunch of trees are growing from the ground, the one infinite creator is like the ground.
Right.
I don't know if that...
Well, and the analogy doesn't hold all the way, but there is an analogy there.
Yeah. It's like the ground, but it's also the trees. Okay.
Yes.
So.
It is a beautiful, beautiful process by which all occurs.
Now, does the One Infinite Creator interface in a volitional way with this realm? Or is everything just dancing around this energy?
It does interface with the whole realm. And there are certain basics. So, one, it all is one at the base, at the heart of the matter. All is one. And then out of that comes all of its manifestations, all of its frequencies, all of its interactions. And with the basis of all is one, and the basis of the cement or being put together with love, it creates a distortion which all are affected by. And so when you have someone going off track, becoming a they would call themselves a freedom fighter, and the others would call them terrorists. It makes a profound effect upon the individual doing the act. A profound eventual learning that the surroundings keep affecting him and bringing him back into line until he begins to understand and correct his behavior. That is bringing it down to a level of human.
Could you give me an example of a volitional act that the One Infinite Creator did? I would imagine the beginning of the Elohim was a volitional act on the part of the One Infinite Creator, yes?
It was something the One Infinite Creator lended his energy to. His energy was part and parcel of the
But by volitional, there was an intention and a vision to create something, and then it got created. Like an independent intelligence that could operate with its own volition. Yes?
There was an intense learning process that started, and there was there was volition to make correction. Within the area where the manifestations were occurring. The overall, the intense volitional action was more of a allowing, a love. But a strong ethic that if the one infinite creator, the one, the love was violated, that the person or entity or manifestation creating that would become disconnected in their own mind, not in the creator's mind, and would launch them into eons of recovery.
I see that. Let me just repeat what you said and see if I got it. If there was a being in creation that went against the love or the law of one or harmed part of creation, not realizing it was harming itself, it would become alienated in its own mind from the creation itself.
Yes.
I said that correctly, yes?
Yes.
And so in this realm, we would probably say there are many, many beings who fit that profile. Yes?
Yes.
Which is why this realm has gotten to be as difficult as it is.
Yes.
Because
people
those
do not realize, they do not realize their strong connection with each other.
Mm-hmm. And it stems from the acts of beings that were harmful to the all and perceived as beneficial to themselves, but beneficial in a very lower way of looking at benefit.
Yes, it is a very difficult realm, in that it is difficult to exist as a being without interfering with the elements around one, the growing of the grass, which is struggling to achieve its creativity, its reproduction, and then the cutting of the grass. There are all kinds of interferences that go on, and that is understood. However, when one gets into their isolated belief system and moves off the track of the general love for his fellow beings, then the one begins to get karma and has sometimes a very hard way finding his way back.
You know, in the long view of the evolution of the universe, is there a point, and some people say this is true, is there a point where the universe draws in on itself, and it has an end point, or does it just continue ad infinitum?
It continues, although there are changes, but it continues, morphs, and continues. It can change shape and then continue.
Do these beings who have cut themselves off from the one infinite creator, is there any time limit in the universe for them to come back, or is it just goes on and on?
It goes on and on.
It goes on and on. So it's a never-ending drama of sorts. And
yes. The individuals, however, can become so isolated that they change form. And then they have to continue in a different form to become, say, part of the landscape.
Their energy becomes part of a landscape. They no longer have a humanoid form.
Yes, it can. And yes.
They can be a tree, or they can be the ground, or they can be a rock.
They can become associated closely with the rocks or with the ground.
And they kind of lose their evolutionary potential almost eternally, yes?
Yes.
Okay. We know that in our realm today, there are huge negative agendas, and people are getting caught in the negative agendas. When somebody gets caught in a negative agenda, who is actually a positively oriented being, and they actually think they're operating from a positive orientation, and they've been tricked, does that energy pull them after they leave the realm? In other words, are they trapped in that same negative agenda?
It depends. If they have had light-filled incarnations and they are born into a dark family, they may go along with the training, and they got the genetics too, but then they may suddenly realize, hey, you know, this is wrong. And they might change suddenly and put their wrongdoing ways aside. So it helps each individual, each lifetime, to build a good lifetime, something that is reliable and something that they can then in their future, like building inner strength, it stays with them.
So if somebody is innocent and is supportive of a dark agenda, but they don't know it and they're innocent, when they die, they don't necessarily continue to be pulled by the dark agenda.
That's correct. In fact, they can change midstream in their life. Suddenly, think, hey, you know, this is wrong. And
right.
Suddenly change.
Is that true for people that have made taken oaths or made commitments to dark agenda organizations?
Yes, and certainly in the midst of some action which is wrong, they may say, hey, you know, let me look at this. I can't do this. This is wrong. And they may, it might cost them their life or something, but in the long run, they are better off.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, you were talking about the universe is constantly being created. There really is no time. And from the point of no time, the universe is in a constant creation.
Yes, as time is a result.
Of the creation.
Yes.
We're not in time. Time is part of the creation.
Yes.
And as the universe is being created, is it kind of a quantum pulsing, like what is that physics experiment where a thing is a particle or a frequency, or is it a particle or is it a frequency? Is there a pulsing at a frequency through the universe where it blips on and off, on and off, on and off?
There are many frequencies, and there is a general frequency, and people tend to hone into the frequency, even though they aren't aware of it, and it makes them feel like they are at home.
Mm-hmm. What is it that creates the Schumann resonance of the Earth, sometimes referred to as the Earth's frequency? Is that created by the rotation of the Earth, or probably not? You know, everything in the universe goes around in circles. Everything, obviously, is frequencies, from the rotation of the Earth to the frequency of the Earth around the sun, from the frequency of the atoms around the electrons, from the frequency of the solar system moving around the galaxy at a certain rate. So these are actually part of the idea of the frequencies of the universe, yes?
Yes, it's like the Schumann resonance would be the frequency, the resultant of all the frequencies of operational on planet Earth and the magnetic field and the blinking on and off of the particles involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that the Earth residents are not even aware of, but it is one of their guidelines, one of
mm-hmm.
their coordinates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? We're coming to the end of this call. We have about a minute left. Would you like to say anything to us all before we move on?
We are eternally grateful for each person on this line, each person who is listening to the call later, each person who is helping in any way. We are profoundly thankful.
Well, thank you for coming forth to be with us and trusting our group and our intention, and Terry and myself. And I thank everyone also profoundly who's on the line that is helping to support this. And as you all know, on Wednesday, you can submit questions, and we will ask your questions. And on that note, I'm going to unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry. Love to all. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Donna, for working today. Love you all. Ship it out. Great session. Thanks, Wynn. Terry, Donna. Thank you. Much love to all. Hey, hi. Thanks for the ladies there. Welcome to the Elohim. Are you hearing them while you're saying this?
Are you asking Terry that question?
Yes.